All right, grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Woohoo! Genesis chapter 2. We're going to get into this series again, Agents of Change. God has been speaking to us about great things to come. A few weeks ago, we started talking about God changing our language and speak. And then in changing our language, He starts talking to us about change. The Lord is really ramping up something. I don't know if you sense it in your heart, but I sense it in my heart. I sense that there's great opportunity. When I talk of change, I'm not talking just about minor change or little change. I'm talking about God-sized change, which is talking about increase, advancement, fulfillment of plans and destinies. Can I get an amen on that? Absolutely. So when the Lord begins to speak to us and give us windows and ideas and practical steps in change, we need to embrace those things. So a few weeks ago, I talked to you about the blood of Jesus. That's where all change begins. If Jesus had not died and shed His blood for us, we'd still be lost in our sins. If Jesus' blood had not been shed, then the penalties and all the failures that we have inherited over this planet would still be on our shoulders. No matter what we did, we'd still be dying and going to hell. But the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus can change anybody. Can I hear amen on that? Absolutely. The blood of Jesus doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. The blood of Jesus is the greatest change agent the world has ever seen. Last week we talked about the Word of God. The Word of God renews our mind, transforms the way we think, and you think differently, things begin to change. You think on God levels, God results begin to come to pass in our lives. And so last week we talked about the Word of God. Today, I want to talk to you about a change agent that God uses people to change our lives. God uses people to change our lives in many different ways and capacities. But I want to talk to you about the importance of the people that you surround yourself with and the intentionality that we should have, because we're believing God for greater things. Is anyone in agreement with that? I'm believing God for greater things. Well, that means some new voices and some new relationships are going to come into your life. God consistently through Scripture, when He was about to transform and launch people into new seasons, He brought new relationships into their lives, voices, mentors, truth into their life that they did not know before. And God will do the same thing in changing your life, in increasing your life. He's going to increase your relationships to do this. But it's also a time for us to evaluate relationships that we've been in. Relationships change us for the good and for the bad. People affect our lives, and there's no greater truth than that right there. I used to have a mentor in my life, someone that was very important to me. Actually, her name was Jeannie Mayo, Pastor Jeannie Mayo. And she picked me out of a group and said, would you join my internship program? And I did. And in that internship program, I got my license to preach. I had my training in ministry. She had a huge impact on my life. She still does today. She's got a national, international ministry, travels all over the world, raising up youth pastors. She's probably put more youth pastors in the ministry than anybody else ever. She's a massive blessing to the body of Christ. She's actually going to be here in May. She's going to preach for you in May. She'll be here, so that's exciting. Be really excited about that. Some of you might know who she was. You'll enjoy her coming. All that being said, she used to have a phrase when I was in my internship program that she said so much, and it was this: show me your friends, and I'm going to show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And that's why people are so important. Matter of fact, I thought, she said it so much, I actually thought it was in the Bible back then, you know? And I actually said it in an intern meeting. I made a comment, I'm like, you know how the Bible says, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And she just kind of shook her head at me, and all the other interns were like, that's not in the Bible! And they mocked me appropriately. So anyways, from that moment on, I've always made sure, if I'm going to say something's in the Bible, it's in the Bible, okay? So you can assure I learned a lesson really well that day. But it's true, that principle is scriptural. The people you surround yourself with affect you, just the way it's going to be. And as God has changed for your life, God has new plans, God has new vision for your life, there's going to need to be new connections, new voices, new relationships that come in your life that will stretch you, that will grow you, that will push you towards God's plans and purposes in your life. You know, all of us have heard some sort of sermons or messages before about how the wrong people in your life can absolutely destroy you. If you hang around the wrong people, if you hang around sinners, you hang around people that love to do wrong, you will get trapped in those cycles. And in many ways, pastors have done a really good job at warning people to be cautious about not putting the wrong people around their lives. But I want to tell you the opposite of that today, or the other side of that. Just as truthful as it is, that the wrong negative influences can make you fail and make you live smaller and underneath God's plan for your life, the right relationships can help you succeed, because who you surround yourself with is vitally important to the capacity of your victory and change in the future. Does this make sense to you? I want you to understand, if people are so powerful that they can destroy God's plan over your life, then equally as powerful, the right people in the right places of your life can help you achieve and fulfill God's plans and purposes for your life. Because relationships, people are powerful. People bring change. People change our lives. Absolutely. Here in Genesis chapter 2, I want you to see something. We were meant to connect with people. Genesis chapter 2 is the beginning of your Bibles, talks about the creation of Adam and Eve, talks about God's plan for man. It's the original intent of God. Here we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God had created all of his creation, and now he focuses on man, making man in his own image. And he says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Or that word suitable is the word corresponding to him. You know, even in the creation, man was already walking with God. But God was saying, this is not good for man just to be by himself. It wasn't God saying that creation wasn't good. It wasn't God saying that what he had made wasn't good. But this wasn't good for Adam. This wasn't fulfilled. This wasn't complete. Adam would not become everything Adam could be just by himself and God. And so God said, Adam's best is going to be having relationships with people like himself, with a creation similar to himself that would correspond to his uniqueness, that he could converse with, that he could talk with, that he could process with. You know, today I'm not going to talk to you about marriage. Obviously, God, in that verse, decided to make Eve, which would be a great model of husband and wife and man, and God has the will for that kind of thing. Today is not a marriage sermon, and I don't want to address new relationships and new voices in your life. I don't want to talk so much about marriage. A marriage conference is super powerful, and marriage sermons by themselves are super powerful, but I'm going to move beyond the idea of marriage and talk to you about people in general. God did not want man to be by himself. Just didn't. You need people in your life to help you become the good that God has on your life. It was not good. Adam was not going to achieve the full goodness that could come out of him just by himself. You know, there is so much that goes on when you're in a relationship or a friendship or partnership with other human beings. They have ways of seeing things that you didn't see. They have ways of looking at a whole picture that if you were left to yourself, you would miss half the picture. They have ways of sparring in a good way, challenging thinking so that the best thoughts can come. They have ways of pushing you when you get lazy and tired. Because here's the deal. By ourselves, in the middle of crisis, in the middle of a challenge, we are our worst counselors and our worst helpers to ourselves. I don't know if you know that or not. But when you are in a difficult time, a stressful time, when things are not going the way they should, you left to yourself, give yourself horrible advice. I don't know about you, but that's me. I mean, me left to myself, not good thing. But God has given me his word. God has given me mentors and counselors. God has given me a wonderful spouse. God has given me great, many advisors that I can talk to about things. And they help me make the best decisions. They help me grow. They help me change towards the good rather than just being isolated. And here's the principle in this. The devil loves to isolate people of God, because when you isolate yourself, and we do it on purpose because we've been hurt by somebody in the past. You know, there's times where we don't want to make new friendships because the last friendships didn't work out. We don't want new relationships in our lives because we've been disappointed by previous relationships. And we begin to not intentionally build or reach out to bring new connections and new people into our team and into our world. And I'm telling you, that's a strategy of the devil to isolate you. You will not see all of God's good and potential of your life if you are isolating. Let the devil isolate you and keep you from new divine connections. When you come to church, you know, people get afraid to reach out. That fear will steal from you. You know, the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and fullness and abundance. One of the ways the devil steals your God-given change and potential and growth is by keeping you insecure and afraid of building and making the new connections for the new levels that God has for your life. because you're sad or hurt from previous experiences. It is not God's will, it is not good for you to be isolated and alone. Can I get an amen on that? And we just need to buy into that. We need to sell into that today. God, one of God's way of change and growth and prosperity and progress in your life is to add people to your life. So if you want to grow, you want to increase, you're going to need people in your life. We have to get over some of those fears, disappointments, ask God to heal our heart so that we can connect to new people, because those people are part of God's plan for your life. The Bible tells us, in talking about relationships and people, Proverbs chapter 13, 20, about the idea of the power of connecting to people. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools, you're going to get in trouble. Very simple equation here. You hang out with the wise, you become what? Wise. You guys are brilliant. Mwah. Good job, everybody. Walk with wise, you become wise. You know what this tells me, though? Let's read into this passage a little bit. It tells me that I'm supposed to be intentional and in all the right ways critical about the people that I allow to get into my ears and into my life. The Bible here says you need to identify the wise that are around you. You know, we always, and it's a big deal, we're not, you know, we always say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. And there's a right way of not judging, and there's a wrong way of not judging. We are supposed to judge and know whether or not what's coming out of a person's mouth is wisdom, whether or not what comes out of their life is fruitful, and I know that if I add them to my life, I'm going to become like them. It's a simple equation. The Bible says here, identify the wise and hang out with them, because you're going to become wise. You know, so many times we have a heart to change. We have a desire to grow and to be wise. The Bible gives you one of the most practical insights right now for you growing in wisdom, and that is get around wise people. Amen. This is powerful stuff. I know you're like, wow, that's so deep. It's not all that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look, let's just think. And if I'm hanging out with fools, I'm going to get in trouble. You wonder, why is my life not changing? Why is it always going in circles? Why am I always getting in trouble? Maybe it's the people you surround yourself with. Maybe it's the opinions, the attitudes, the actions, the thought processes, the way that they think. Are you understanding? And the Bible tells us here, if you want to be wise, you hang with the wise. It's about being intentional with your relationships. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, so one man or one person will sharpen another person. To get sharp and to be our best, we need other people in our lives that have the same passion, the same caliber, the same drive for God, the same pursuit of holiness, the same vision to be something. See, if you hang around with a bunch of people that don't want to be anything, you'll never be anything. But you have to be around people that are have that iron on the inside. You see, it's a similar material on the inside. See, it's iron doesn't sharpen clay, like clay doesn't sharpen iron and wood doesn't sharpen iron. It's iron sharpens iron, which means you want people that have the same pursuit, the same passion for life, the same desire to make an impact with their life. And then when you guys get together, you challenge each other, you push each other, you think bigger thoughts and new ideas of how to do it better and to reach farther and to improve things. But you need to find people that have the same stuff, the same material on the inside. Amen? Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift them up. It's important who's around you. We all make mistakes, we all have hard times, we all have failures, and the people you've chosen to be around you will either help you up or they're going to keep you down after you've messed up or things have gone horribly wrong in your lives. Who is in our closest circles and spheres of influence? You want to change your life? You're going to need to start making some choices on some relationships, because relationships change our lives. They just do. Amen? People affect us. That's okay. People affect us, and it's supposed to be that way. Again, too many times the church has always preached the negative, but the negative is true, and I'm going to read some scripture here that reminds us of that, but you have to see the power of relationships, the positive side of it as well. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says it like this, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? or what fellowship has light with darkness? Again, the Bible here is trying to help us be intentional and very clear about the people we bring into the closest circles of our lives. Now, this isn't saying that we can't be related or friends or kind to people that don't know Jesus. That's where the church has gone very wrong in the past. We've isolated ourselves with ourselves, and we're no longer the salt and the light. If the salt's going to be salt and light's going to be light, then we're going to have to be out in darkness. We're going to need to be around the world because the world needs us. Can I get an amen? So this is not a sermon on let's just hang out with Christians and never talk to people. We were all sinners and we were all lost, and I'm so glad a Christian came into my life and told me about Jesus. But the Bible here says that light and darkness and righteousness and lawlessness should not be partners with each other. They should not go into close proximity of voice and influence and who's calling the shots and who's speaking the closest to your heart. See, I can serve humanity and I can love people and I can touch their lives, but the people that are the closest to me, the closest to my heart, the closest in my ears, whispering and speaking into my life, I need to be very, very cautious and careful who those people are. Does that make sense? And I have the ability to put those people in places. See, we have to know that you have the power to adjust who sits in what seats on the bus of your life. Who sits closest to the drivers and whispers in the driver's ear, that's your choice. You can have people in your life and in your sphere, but the ones that are the closest, the ones I'm going to receive counsel from, they better have godly wisdom. The ones that I'm going to have near me the most, because there's another phrase that I used to hear all the time when I was growing up, and it was this: he who spends the most time wins. The greatest voices in your life that you give the most attention and the most heed to, that becomes the way you think. That becomes the way you believe. And so you must be, and this doesn't make you a bad person. This doesn't make you not a good Christian. I'm just telling you like it is. The Bible tells us if you're going to see godly change, if you're going to see godly advancement, godly blessing, yes, you have to be very specific on who you allow to be the closest in your life. The voices that you allow to speak into your life and that you draw counsel and spend the majority of your time with, who you run to when you're in the most difficult seasons of your life, because people affect you. People will change you, either for the good or for the bad. But that's up to you, really, because you get to decide who goes where in your life. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. But that tells me that the right company would strengthen my morale, would strengthen my character, would strengthen my holiness, would keep me one. Maybe I want to step off and do something that I shouldn't, but thank God I put the right person next to me that says, Kevin, don't veer off there. I'm going to help you. I'm going to keep you accountable. I'm going to watch over you, because two are better than one. If one falls, the other's there to keep them lifted up and make the right decision. Thank God I put the right person next to me before I went through a crisis, before I went through some problem in my life. So many times we just think everything just happens randomly. We can be very intentional about the change and the progress and the success of our lives. We can build a life that has great success rate because we've been very intentional about the people that we've put around us. Every life's going to have difficult times, but the people you put around you will help you overcome and be victorious when you go through a difficult time. In your notes, I want you to think about people like this. You can write it like this: people equal voices. People equal voices. I don't just want you to think about buddies and friends and who am I going to go bowling with this weekend. And this is bigger than who am I going to hang out with. I want you just to get the overall idea that people change us. Just that one sentence. And God uses people to change us. Part of his plan. He changes us through his blood. He changes us through his word. He changes us many other ways. But one of the ways that God uses even to change us, to stretch us, to grow us, to increase and advance us, is going to be connected to people. God's very intentional about people bringing the best out of you. Not just buddies, but voices. People bring their voice. They bring their callings. They bring their talents They bring their anointings into your life. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see this kind of played out in kind of a church level, a bigger level. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and I'm going to go all the way to verse 13. The Bible says this, He gave, now this is talking about God or Jesus, saying He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, or your Bible might say their ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God wants you to change and grow into the full measure of the stature of the knowledge of Christ. God has a ministry for every saint and every believer. God has an act of service for your life, an impact for your life, a destiny for your life. There is the image of Christ being formed in you and the maturity, but I want you to see that all of that was linked to people. And it was linked to people that God put in spiritual leadership roles over our lives. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all these things. God brought people into our lives to help us change, to be stretched, to grow. Why do I bring this up? Why is this part of today's message on God uses people to change us? In that passage of Scripture, I want you to see that God links your spiritual growth and potential to godly mentors and teachers and voices over your life, just the way it is. And people have been so hurt by pastors, by people that call themselves apostles, by people that call themselves prophets, people that call themselves evangelists. They've been over-guilted. They've been twisted in the teaching that has been bad and religious, that's been all the law, pulled out the grace, and no one knew what to do with themselves. Apostles who walked around with a business card saying, I'm an apostle, yet they had no fruit of an apostle in their life. People that called themselves prophets, yet there was of no value because they had no real word coming from God. It was just a title. People have been hurt and wounded by people who have abused those titles and abused those offices. But I'm here to tell you something. How many of you think God's smart? Anybody? This half of the room is really quick. Are you guys all right over here? My series next month, God is Smart. That way you're really confident about God being smart. I believe God's smart, and maybe you'll catch up with that belief as well. I believe God knows what He's doing. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when God linked our spiritual potential and development to people that could potentially make mistakes and fall, don't you think God knew that was part of the possibility? But yet God knew the best way to help people change and grow was to use people in their lives. God could have had angels come down every Sunday and preach sermons. God could have had rocks sing songs to you. God could have had Bible teachers. He could have had, you know, different birds come in and teach the Scripture to you. You know, on a Sunday morning, little sparrows fly through your window and say, open up your Bible, and all kinds of stuff. But God said, I'm going to use people. And people have the potential to hurt people. People have the potential to destroy people. But still, one of the greatest ways God knows to change a person's life is to use another person. Does that make sense? Yeah, you can celebrate that. That's okay. God put specific anointings and mantles and gifts in people's lives to help us all grow. In that passage of Scripture, our change agent, our possibility and capability of becoming the full stature of Christ is linked to people in spiritual places of leadership in our lives. This is the way it's going to be. Now, you have to then choose and discern what leader is qualified to take that place in your life. You have to judge those leaders according to the Scripture. You need to look at the fruit on their life, not just the title on their business card. You need to judge them. But the moment that you see that God's hand is on them and they are who they say they are, then you need to begin to allow your heart to trust. Ask God to pull the offense out. I know people have hurt people. I know people have abused offices, but you still need biblical leadership to help you grow. And I want you to embrace it rather than be afraid of it. See, again, one of the tricks to steal God's best out of your life is to isolate you from the very people that God would use to perfect you into the full measure of the stature of the image of Christ. So that offense is going to steal, kill, and destroy something from your life. See, according to that passage of Scripture, you cannot perfect yourself by yourself. You know, a lot of people, I'll just read my Bible, just me and Jesus at home, and I'll just do this myself. I don't need any pastors or teachers in my life telling me what to do or what da-da-da-da. Here's the problem. You don't know what you don't know. And so you might be perpetuating the wrong idea, and you do it really well. You don't know what you don't know. My children, 8, 10, whatever years old, if you were to ask them today, do you need to go to school anymore? They're going to say, no, I know everything I need to know. But they don't know what they don't know. They need teachers that are going to stretch them and help them think thoughts that they never thought. They need people that are gifted in those areas to help them see what they cannot see on their own, to help keep them accountable and push them in ways that they didn't know were inside of them. Are you understanding what I'm saying on that? See, we need teachers in our lives. We need people that God has assigned to us to perfect us for our works of ministry. And without them, we are not going to be the full measure that we could be. God still uses these people in our lives to help shape us and make us as good, as great as God has seen us to be. See, God-sized change and God-sized vision for our life is going to take God ways of getting there. Which means you have to say yes to plans of God even if you don't agree with them. There's people that don't agree with tongues either, but I'm still going to say yes to it. Because it's God's plan. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, you need apostolic influences in your life. Why? Because left to ourselves, most Christians, we go into self-preservation mode where we want to bless our family, maybe a couple friends, we have our Bible studies together, and as long as we stay holy and we stay pure, then when we die, we'll go to heaven and we'll do a few little good things here or there, but we're still smaller than God intended us to be. Where an apostolic vision is like Paul. When Paul walked into Athens, see, the Christians of Athens, they were like hanging out together. But when that apostolic vision of Paul walked into Athens and he saw all the gods of Athens, he looked up and he says, what are we going to do to change all this? See, an apostolic vision says, we're going to think bigger than ourselves. We're going to think regionally. We're going to take the salt and the light and we're going to change the earth. And they begin to speak over regional change and where you fit and how your gift fits in there. See, they're builders and they're building things bigger than just getting you and your family into heaven. You need coaches like that in your life, visionaries like that, to help you connect with something larger than we would have done just by ourselves. That's an anointing. It's something that's given to those types of visionaries, to those types of people. That's why we need them. It's a good thing. And we need teachers to make sure that we're keeping accurate and faithful to the Word. And we need evangelists in our lives that are reminding us to share our faith. And they're giving us testimonies of life change. And missionaries normally get birthed out of churches because some evangelist came and inspired something to send them all the way around the world. And I'm telling you, we need those voices, those people in our lives if we're going to achieve and become the fullness of that picture that Jesus wants us to become. It's just the way it's going to be. And so I ask you today, if you have offense in your heart towards those things or fear towards those things, please begin to ask God to heal me. Heal your heart. You know, you think about the prophetic. And there's people that you've met that were not prophetic at all. They were more pathetic. You know what I'm saying? But they were not prophetic. But prophets come in and they can help you identify things about you that you didn't know. David didn't know he was a king, but the prophet came in and helped him see something bigger about himself. See, David would have been happy being a shepherd on the side of a hill. Or when David became king and he became something, he still needed a prophet mantle in his life because David was bound in his sin and he was hiding it and that sin was deceiving him. And the prophet came in and said, you're the one that's causing all this confusion. It's the sin that you're hiding. The prophet was the one brave enough to go toe-to-toe with the king. And that's why you need spiritual leaders in your life that are willing to go toe-to-toe with you because some people in your life aren't brave enough to tell you what you need to hear, especially yourself. But you know what? David was grateful that he got set free from that hidden sin because it then set his whole family and healed his nation. Amen? Absolutely. God changes us with people. I'm going to give you a key phrase today. I want to flip your thinking. Key thought. Big thought. Huge point I'm about to say. This is huge what I'm about to tell you. Are you ready? You ready? I don't feel you're ready. Are you ready? All right, what I'm about to say is massively huge. It's a huge shift for some of our thinking, but I want you to grab a hold of this. You have the ability to choose your team. You have the ability to choose your team, the people that come up closest to you. You know, the strength of a team determines whether or not there's going to be victory in the contest. Do you see that? It's all about who's on the team. The thought processes, the way they think, the way they work, their work ethic, their passion, their skill sets. We get the ability, remember, I'm talking about God-sized change in your life. I'm talking about your future, your destiny. The strength of your destiny is going to be determined by the strength of the team of which you've chosen to be the closest to you. You have the ability to choose your team. Some people never knew that. We just kind of pick up people along the way and we think, oh, well, I met them. Therefore, they're on my team. And we give them voice in our life. The strength of your destiny and future and victories is determined on the team you choose, the people you bring closest to you. You know, I have to do that even in the church. I believe in what God is doing in the church. I believe in what God's doing in our satellite churches because I know the quality and the caliber of the team that God has put together. Can I get an amen on that? I'm excited about our team. Amen. I'm excited about our team. And I know the potential of the future. And I'm excited about the quality of where we're going because I know the quality of the people on that team. Amen. At the same, but you have that ability in your life. You have the ability to choose the team that surrounds you. You have the ability to the voices, the mentors. See, again, not just buddies that you bowl with or something. But I'm talking the voices that speak into your life, the classes that you choose to go to, the books that you intend to read, the places you turn when you need advice and counsel. Are they wise? Are they the right people? You have the ability to build your team. That's the powerful, life-changing sentence you needed to hear today. You have more ability than you think to get the right people around you. And you might think, well, what if I ask them and they don't want to come? Then ask somebody else. Amen. Because the other option is have no team. And you can't do that because it's not God's plan for you to be by yourself. There are people that God has for you, but you got to push through insecurity. You have to push through possible rejection. And God will link you. And you can also begin to pray that God orders your steps to come into the steps and the path of the right people that you need around you. God will get involved in this because this is God's will for your life. Amen. I'm telling you, it matters who you want to hang out with and for your potential. If you want to soar with the eagles, you got to stop hanging out with chickens. If you want to soar with eagles, you got to stop hanging out with chickens. You have a dream and you have vision and you have passion and all the people in your closest circle are so negative and they're there to pull you down. And again, I'm not talking about marriage right now, okay? We just set that to the side. We'll deal with that on another day. I'm talking about other people. They're so negative and they're so full of fear and they're so full of worry and what if it doesn't happen and what if this? If you want to soar with the eagles, you got to stop hanging out with the chickens. Simple thought, but you get to choose who you hang out with. It's just the way it is. You will be the same person 5 years from now except for the books you read and the relationships that you align yourself with. Basically, if you want to change, learn something new and meet new people. That simple. You want to see godly change and increase and transformation in your life, one of the key ways we can change, learn something new and start getting around some new voices in your life, some greater leadership voices, people that will challenge and inspire and encourage you. We have the ability to decide that. Do you have a list for those people that you bring into your closest circles in your life? I think you should. You're about to invest a whole lot of time in these people. You're about to invest a whole lot of emotional energy, thought, work, years of your life, and they are going to change you. Don't you think you should have some standards? Does that make sense? Do you have a list? I remember when I was dating Maria, and I was really young, so I can't say my list was all that spiritual way back then. But I remember even when I was dating Maria, I had a list. And I think that's huge. Some people don't like lists in dating. I like lists in dating because whoever I'm about to marry or I'm going to marry is going to change and impact my whole life. And I don't want my list to be, it's just someone who asked. Okay? They were just willing. Because it's going to change you. It's going to matter. And so I made a list. And again, so it's just some little things on my list. Nothing huge. Again, this was years ago, so some of it wasn't the most spiritual. One of the things, I wanted her to be pretty. And I got it. Hallelujah. And she still is. I love it. She's beautiful. I also wanted her to be musical. I wanted her to be able to play the piano back then. I don't know why. It's not like she sits there and plays to me all day long and walks around the house and plays piano to me. But for some reason, I wanted a lady that could play the piano, which weeded a whole bunch of different people out. I wanted her to be intelligent. Now, that should be on your list, guys. It's a big deal. I wanted her to be intelligent. I wanted her to have soft hands so that when I held it, felt like a soft, like delicate, like lady hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to anybody that might not have soft hands. I'm just saying for me, that was a thing. Okay, it was just a thing for me. And other people, every hand has a hand that wants to hold it. Okay, and so you don't have to worry. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just saying for me, it was a thing. I remember I was going out with this one. I went out one time with this girl, and I went over to reach her hand. I was like, nope. Nope. That's the rest of my life right there. Nope. And it was a thing for me. It was just a thing for me. I wanted a girlfriend who knew about the Holy Spirit. I wanted her to have the same passion for the things of the Spirit that I did. I was dating a girl once, brought up the Holy Spirit to her. She had no idea what I was talking about, so I was done with her. I was like, nope. I don't want to waste the time. I had places to go, people. I had to call a God on my life. I don't need to waste time. You know what I'm saying? And so this is just the way my passion was, my mind was. One other thing, there's lots of things on that list, but one other thing just real quick. I remember I wanted on my list other girls to speak highly and well of her. You know, because here's the deal, guys, this is a little window of truth. If you want to know about a girl, ask other girls about her, okay? They will tell you the truth. Your guy friends will be like, yeah, she's pretty, man. Oh, she's fine. But the girls will be like, yeah, well, she's on the inside, you know? Girls will tell you the truth about that girl. And so I wanted a girl that other girls, that was actually a thing with me too. I wanted to, and Maria is that way, and she still is, that other ladies in her life, other girls in her life, they had good things to say about her. And again, this isn't about dating or anything like that today. It's about making a list about the closest relationships you're going to have in your life. Obviously, I wanted her to love God. I wanted her to have all kinds of things. But same thing could be true with the people you put on your team. What's your list? Do you have a litmus test of the people that are going to be the key voices and key players in your life? There should be some standards because they are going to change you, either for the better or the worse. It's just the way it's going to be. And so some of the things, you might want to write this down in your notes as we come to a close. You might want to write these down on your notes. Number one, I would put down, is God a big deal to them? That's a standard. That's something I want to know. Before I make you in my inner circle or a key player in my life and a key voice, if I'm going to spend energy and time and emotional expense with you, is God a big deal to you? If not, then you can be in my world, but you're not going to be up close, because for me to get where I'm going, I need people that are passionate about God like I'm passionate about God. Does that make sense? Now, linked with that would be, is growing spiritually important to them? Because there are people that will say they love God, but they are spiritually lazy. And they don't need to be up close in your team. They love Jesus. They're going to go to church once a week. They're fine. They might go to church twice a month or Christmas and Easter, whatever that might be. That doesn't mean that they're supposed to be the key players and voices in your life. They're good people, probably going to heaven. So God's a big deal. But are they passionate about getting better? Learning something new, growing in God, achieving goals and dreams, making an impact in this world with Jesus. If they're not that way, then they're not going to rub that off on you. You see what I mean? Their apathy or their kind of half-hearted way of doing Christianity just enough to get by, that's going to then become the conversation, that's going to become the belief system, and it's going to be hindering to your hope and future and potential that God has for you. So I challenge you, do they pass the test? Are they negative or are they positive most of the time? Do they always see the problem with life? Or are they someone that's prone to seeing solutions? Are they prone to speaking, God has an answer? Are they prone to being encouragers? Because we're going to need encouragement. And if they're naturally bent towards failure and negativity, then that's what you're going to get when you need them the most. Does this make sense? Do they actually have wisdom? Can we be that intense about this? Do you have something to say? Do you have wisdom in an area? Even when you're selecting your spiritual leadership that God can use in your life, man, please test the fruit of their life. Look at their marriage. Look at the fruit that comes out of their world. Look at their personality. Look at all things. Test them according to the scripture. Do they have fruit coming out of their life? Do they have wisdom in these areas? Because you're about to bring them into your inner circle, and it's going to shape your belief system. Amen. Like I said earlier, don't just settle for relationships that we pick up over time. You know, one of the best things we can do in life to get rid of clutter is to move. Have you ever moved your house before? And you purge stuff, you know, stuff that you just let kind of just get there. And you wonder, like, why do I have an 8-foot picture of a velvet tiger? How did this get here? And why is it still here? And in moving, you're like, let's deal with this picture. You're not coming with me. We need to be able to do that sometimes in our lives. Again, not to hurt people. And I know that's where the challenge comes in, because, you know, we don't want to hurt people. Get it. And we're supposed to serve people. I get that. But at the same time, this is about your future. This is about your destiny. This is about victories and potential that God has going on in your life. And we need to get serious about this stuff. There are some relationships that we're so afraid to step away from or to make some distance. Doesn't mean you're cutting them off. Doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means they're not going where you're going. And you have to identify that. And you have to be honest with yourself, saying these leaders or these voices in my life, they are not going where I want to go. And so I need to get people close to my heart and in my life that are going where I want to go, so that my team is strong and I'm going to make it. And when I want to fail, my team is strong to keep me up. Praise God, man. And I know that sounds harsh, but you understand you're sacrificing your potential and future because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. That's a big deal. And I think God can give us wisdom of how to address them in the best way possible, or how to just maybe start changing the amount of time. I'm not saying just marginalize them or treat them like dirt, because we still want to be a blessing to people, okay? We still love people, but there's a wisdom to this, where somehow these people that aren't going where we're going don't suck all the energy and life out of us, so that we don't have the passion to go where we want to go, or the wisdom to go, or the faith to go where we want to go. I'm telling you, this is about your future. This is about your family. This is about your destiny, and you need to get serious about it too, and not worry about hurting people's feelings. But don't, I know that's not the exact right way to say it, because you want to take care of people, but there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom to do it properly. Amen? All right, last thought. I don't want this sermon just to be about other people. Are you good enough to be on my team? And, you know, or do you have faith? Or do you have wisdom? Or are you negative or positive? Because here's the deal. I want to ask this question to you. Are you the type of person someone wants on their team? I mean, that's great when we're like, who's going to be on my team? But you understand, someone's thinking about you. Amen. Someone's thinking about you. Are you negative? Are you full of faith? Are you learning in wisdom? Are you passionate about the things of God? Are you growing? Are you becoming the person that would be a great addition to somebody's team? Amen? We need to look at that too and say, God, you know, help me as well. Help me to be growing. Help me to have faith. Help me to be learning and thriving so that I could be a good teammate to somebody else. Because as much as they're going to be on your team, you're going to be on their team. And I just want to make sure we take accountability for ourselves too. Go ahead, stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray this into Life Church. I pray this unto those watching on the internet. Lord, you're talking to us about great change, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. People are used to change us. And Lord, I just pray right now, if we've been isolating ourselves, if we've been rejecting godly relationships and mentors and people in our lives because of pain of the past, I pray that you would take that hurt out. You would take that offense out. You would take that poison out, that rejection. We just ask for forgiveness of it right now. We just give it to you so that, Lord, we wouldn't be hindered in the next season of change, godly change in our lives. Heal up our broken hearts. Help us to try again. Help us to step out and build relationships. We need people. We need people in our lives. I know we want to say we don't need anybody, but that's not true. We do need people. And so, Lord, I just pray you help us to be healed and to build godly, great relationships. Give us wisdom on handling the negative relationships. Give us wisdom on how to, in the right way, make more time for the right relationships and to step away from the other ones that are pulling us down. Give us wisdom in that, God. I know there's a way to do that. You know how to do it, Jesus. And I pray that over this house. Lord, I pray over the next year, 2 years, we can look back over this day and we'll see how you brought new voices, new people, and new levels of success into our lives. And we give you thanks. We make a choice right now, Lord. If there's something in us that needs to change, then we repent and we ask you to change us. If we're not a good teammate right now, change us. We repent of that. But Lord, also we're open to receiving new relationships, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and celebrate that. Amen. All right. Before I dismiss you, and please, nobody leaving right now because this is the most important part of the whole day. Talk about how one relationship can change everything. Some of you in this room need to connect to Jesus, and it's about to change everything. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, that same principle, I mean, this is a great illustration of it, connecting to the new relationship gives you a hope in the future. Connecting to Jesus right now totally changes everything. And so today, you might not know where you stand with God. You might say, if I were to die today, I don't know whether or not I would go to heaven or hell. I'm not sure. Well, God wants you to be sure. God doesn't want you wondering. He doesn't want you double-minded. He doesn't want you worried. God wants to forgive you of your sins. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to build you a new life and give you a hope and a future. So if I can get everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes for the next 30 seconds, I'm not going to call people to the front in front of everybody, but I want to pray with you right at your chair. Today, if you're not in right relationship with Jesus and you'd like to get things right, it would be my privilege to pray for you. All I'm asking you to do is be brave enough to acknowledge you want prayer and put your hand up in the air at this time. No one's looking, but you can pop your hand up, and that means I want to give my life to Jesus. I see a hand over there. Anybody else? I want to give my life to Jesus today. There's another hand over there. Awesome. Anybody else? A third hand over there. Awesome. Fourth. Awesome. Put anybody else? Put your hand right up. I want to be sure. I want to connect to that relationship first. I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody else today? Another hand in the back. Five. Awesome. Anybody else today? Praise God. Six. Awesome. Anybody else? Go ahead. This is a life-changing decision about who you're going to partner with. Let it be Jesus first. Anybody else today? All right, church, let's all pray together. So they're not praying by themselves. Pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned. And I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you celebrate that today? Amen. I get my prayer team to come to the front. Got some great prayer workers that are coming down. They're here to pray for you, healing, freedom. You want to be filled with the Spirit. You need something going on in your marriage, your business. They're here. They're great quality, trustworthy, trained people that you can come to. Those six people that raised your hand, when I dismiss, right behind our video cameras, we have our New Beginnings area. Got some great leaders there that could give you Bibles or resources, materials, maybe help connect you even to other places in the church that could help you in your journey. We just want to help you any way we can. So while you're walking out, if you prayed that prayer this morning to give your heart to Jesus, I encourage you, connect at those two tables right behind those cameras, and we'll be there to help any way we can. Let me bless you and send you out. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as we go. Thank you, Lord, for building great teams, bringing the right people into our lives, giving us wisdom about who to be close to. Lord, I thank you that we will achieve the destinies and the goals and the plans and the visions over our life. I speak that over this entire house. There's creativity. There's God-given mission and goals and projects that are going to happen and come to pass. I pray strength and encouragement. I pray for the right support structure in each and everybody's life. Lord, I thank you for building quality, strong believers and relationships. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you as you go.